Good morning, True North. It's Thursday, April 23rd. My name is Charleston, and welcome to True North Daily. So I read an interesting article recently. The British Psychological Society just released an article with the headline, "We often choose to avoid learning information that could benefit us." And it highlights the fact that many of us, given the option to hear the truth, would rather live in ignorance of it. It states, "Many of us would rather avoid stressful or uncomfortable truths, even if they might benefit us." And so sometimes being in pastoral mode, I thought to myself, what is an uncomfortable truth for us as Christians? And I think that the truth that we are all called to love others, especially in the crisis that we're in, and especially practically, is something that many of us may choose to avoid. It can be uncomfortable, especially when the implications are to give what we own or earned, especially when it doesn't feel like it's going to benefit us right now, especially when times like now when we opt to hoard or first take care of my needs and my family's, and we say to ourselves, well, there is one comfortable truth for me, and it's that God loves everyone, and he is in control. So however others are doing, I can wish the best for them, knowing that God is sovereign, and he's going to take care of it. Well, I know, thankfully, that's not always the case, and maybe it's just a matter of how to do it. Just a week ago, I was encouraged by our community group's response to our study in James as we came to this thought. What does faith and works look like today in the COVID age? If we are to love our neighbor, care for widows and orphans, how can we practically do that? Sure, God is in control, but to me that means I can trust him more with how he's providing for me and my family and leading me to help and bless others. So where do I begin? Well, whether some of us are ready to give away our stimulus checks or whether some of us are choosing to live in avoidance of uncomfortable truths, we must not ignore the fact that Jesus has called all of us to love others the same way he loves us. We see that in Mark chapter 12, 30 to 31, to love your neighbor as yourself. And John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. You see, it was common in the ancient world for people to hear a teacher. If you followed the teacher and tried to live what he said, you were called a disciple of that teacher. And as disciples of Christ, Jesus gives us a new command to love others and to love one another. By doing this, the world will know that we are his disciples. So before we can answer the question, how do I begin to love others? We must first start with the question, so where does love begin? Love is more than being nice to people. It's more than giving away our possessions to people. It's loving God above all else so that you love people as he commands you to. I am more persuaded of this every day as I examine my own relationships and as I observe others in theirs. That relationships are first fixed vertically before they are ever fixed horizontally. Our love for others really begins, continues, and is daily motivated by the love for God. When his purposes are more important than our desires, when his glory is more valuable to you than your advancements in your career, when his agenda precedes your plan for today, we will be freed from our bondage to self-love and be free to love others. Our relationships need more than horizontal fixing or working. They need vertical rescue. So our love for others and one another really begins with God. And when he wants to love others, he does that through us. See, when God wants to do something, people are usually his plan A. So when Jesus tells us to love others and to love one another, how do we do that? Well, we can find that in Romans 12, 9 through 13. Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be servant in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality." It's a life living in response to the grace of Christ. Paul appeals to us by the mercies of God to be first dedicated to God, not conformed to the world as our minds are renewed by the Spirit and God's word. It first starts from the vertical relationship, then to the horizontal ones. So Paul answers our question of how do we love those in the church and how do we love those in the world? He says we can do this because our love as Christians is to be both a response to God's love and a reflection of his love in the life of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us here to love genuinely. It means to love without wax. It stems from a practice of the early Roman merchants who set their porcelain jars out for sale. If a crack appeared in one, they would fill it with wax, the same color as the jar, so a buyer would not be aware that it was cracked. But smart buyers learned to hold these jars out in the sun, and if the jar was cracked, the wax would melt and the crack would be revealed. So the honest merchants would test their wares this way and mark them as censorious, meaning they're without wax. The word literally reflects what the Greeks are saying here. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be without wax. The ESV translates as, let love be genuine. J.B. Phillips says, let us not have an imitation of Christian love. All this indicates clearly that the primary character of the early Christian community was that it was a place where love was demonstrated, so much so that the people began to imitate it. Paul reminds us here and in other places that this love must be genuine love, not fake, not hypocritical. In those early days of the church, it was easy to imitate love if you really didn't have it because it was so widely valued and so visibly manifested. So people fell into this habit, as they do today, of pretending that they loved others with what they said and did, but really not feeling it in their hearts. But the Bible calls this hypocrisy, and this is what this passage warns us against. Don't let your love be hypocritical. Don't put it on. The culture around us tells us to project an image, to pretend you are something that you're not. All the world holds up before us through social media and television and Snapchats. We actually are encouraged to be something that we're not, but the gospel tells us otherwise. You see, love cannot be genuine if we don't know the love of God genuinely. As we live life without God, we end up defining love in our own way and consuming our life with ourselves. We demand love rather than give it. Love becomes conditional in the way we love one another. That's why there's a lot of give and take in relationships, and that's why they're destructive. It's destructive because we try to save ourselves by extracting from others what we think we need. We don't want to give too much because we're afraid of not receiving what we give in return. We don't want to love too much because we're afraid we're not going to be loved back. So we live life in self-protective mode, and it doesn't make life lighter. It makes life heavier. But the gospel announces that everything we need, and this is really what Paul's been trying to get at, everything that we need, everything we can possibly long for, in Christ we already possess. And this frees us to relate to one another unconditionally, generously, and sacrificially, because this is all part of our sanctification. And what this means is, I can do everything for you without having you do anything for me, and we can spend our lives giving without anything in return. So living and operating in love is not something that we must work at. It is a byproduct of having Christ and walking by the Spirit of God. This is the beauty of having Christ in all that we possess and living by the Spirit of God. The changes that occur are effortless because in the process, God changes our hearts to align with His. 1 John 4:19 says, "This is love. We love because He first loved us." So the gospel announces, this is where love begins, and this is how to love others, by loving God first and taking His lead. The gospel of grace is this announcement that this incomprehensible good news is that you are forever loved, you are forgiven, and so you are forever free to love others. And in the end, we will not lose, because everything we have, we already have in Christ, and that is a truth that benefits us all. Well, with that, let's close today's podcast in prayer. Father, what an amazing thing it is to love in the same way we are loved by You. Will You help us to live a life in response to the grace of Christ? Thank You that the good news sets us free by resting secure in the knowledge and belief that nothing can separate us from Your love for us. We are now free to spend our life giving without the burdening of having to get, because everything we have in Jesus Christ. And we can rest now in His love and find joy to serve, love, and even work for the needs of others, because it has already been done for us. Today, may this be a reminder of Your amazing love for us and how that overflows into our love for one another. Amen.